Good morning, friends. So before we get started this morning, I just want to name the fact that we are coming off of a hard sermon series that I know was difficult for many of us, myself included. But I just want to reiterate for those of you who are here for any of that, in case it was not clear, that I dearly love each and every one of you, no matter what. Okay? No matter where you are on this journey of following Jesus, and that includes in our disagreements as well. I know it was an emotional topic, and over the course of the past several Sundays, that many of you maybe felt challenged in a lot of ways. And if on any of those Sundays, some of you felt that I was uncharitable or even condescending to your personal values, I just want to apologize for that and clarify that that certainly was never my intention. But as I promised from the start, I can't say everything perfectly. That pretty much goes for every single week. I can't promise that I'm going to be right about everything. So please know that you can come talk to me. That's what I'm here for. That's what Pastor Cindy is here for. And so, yeah. If you're just showing up here for the first time today and you're like, man, what did they talk about before I got here? You'll just need to go check it out on the website. And if you get offended, then you can go back and listen to this recording of this message to hear what I just said. All right? And then you can come and talk to me, and I would love that. Okay, so let me start off today by asking a simple question. Why are you here? All right? Not why are you in this particular room today, though that may be part of it, but why are you attending Granite City Church? Why have many of you decided to make this a part of your regular routine? You made an effort this morning to get up on a Sunday morning and give your time and attention to Jesus, to sit under the teaching of Jesus and the Holy Scriptures, to worship and reorient your mind and your body around Jesus. And I think that that is wonderful. Now, there are any number of reasons that you could choose to come here on this morning, and there's any number of other things that you could choose to do, but you chose to be here. Why? Why? Now, to be clear, there's not necessarily a particular right answer to that question, but there is a wrong answer, right? And this is where I want to start this morning. So Pastor Eugene Peterson, who I love, he made the beautiful paraphrase that we call the message of the entire Bible. He was a pastor at heart. That's who he was as a person. And he said this of his hope for his own local congregation. He said, my life's work is to nurture an anti-consumerist congregation. You hear that? In his book, Run with the Horses, and we'll put this up on the screen, he said this: some people come to church to find a way to make their life better and feel good about themselves, to see things in a better light. They arrange a ritual, they hire a preacher to make that happen for them. Other people come to church because they want God to save them and rule them. They accept the fact that there are temptations and sufferings and sacrifices involved in leaving a way of life in which they are in control and plunging into an existence in which God is in control. One group of people sees religion as a way to happy, successful living. The other group sees religion as a way in which hurt, flawed, and damaged persons become whole in relation to God. One way is the way of enhancing what I want. The other way is the way of a commitment of myself to becoming what God wants. Now, I'm just going to name the fact that life is certainly more complex than a simple binary between two groups of people. You get that? Okay, clear about that? All right? It's not just as simple as those who want to do God's will and those who want to do their own will. We are more complicated than that as people. But I do think, as a rhetorical device, at least, I think this dichotomy is a much needed kind of poking at our hearts. that we need to hear from time to time. Our goal, our mission here at Granite City Church is to cultivate a community of people who wholeheartedly walk in the way of Jesus. That means that we're on a mission to submit ourselves to the will and the purpose of the kingdom of God. It's a relinquishing of the things that rule over our lives and a gradual surrender to the rule of God in our life. That means that our participation in the life of the local church has to be more than just checking a spiritual box in our life. Our presence here in this space, and I know we're all at different places in our journey, and that's a good thing, but our presence here in this space is an act of submission to the rule of God and his kingdom. Now, I mention all of that at the outset of this message and the series that we're starting today so that I can hopefully clarify the intentions of what we're talking about. We are beginning a sermon series today on prayer, okay? And here's what I want to be clear about from the beginning. We need to stop thinking about prayer as a way to get from God the things that we want, or a way to get God to do the things that we want him to do. That is, in fact, the opposite of what prayer is meant to be. If we are serious about what prayer is, then what we will find is that prayer is not the process by which we get God to do what we want him to do, but it is the process by which our own hearts and our own lives become aligned with who God is and what God wants to do in and through us. So yes, we come to God in our prayer times and we lay before him our supplications, that is our wants and our desires before God. But the process of faithfully coming before God should be one in which over time we are transformed so that our own wants and desires become aligned with the wants and desires of God himself. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some different kinds of prayer that we see in Scripture. Listening prayer. Did you know that prayer is more than just you talking? It's not just like this one-way conversation. God talks back. Are we willing to listen? So we're going to talk about listening prayer, intercessory prayer. That's where we pray on behalf of those who need the intervention of God in their life. And maybe perhaps people who cannot make that ask of God themselves. Centering prayer, we'll talk about that in a few weeks. Imprecatory prayer, maybe you've never heard of that one. That's where we contend with, even fight with God when everything seems to be falling apart. And so today we're going to talk about communal prayer, which is just what it sounds like. That's when we step out of our private prayer space and join with others, okay? And I would encourage you, just kind of get ready because we're going to do a little bit of that today, all right? But this is where we pray with one another, where we agree with others in prayer about the things of God and our hopes for our lives and the world around us. And here's the beautiful thing that we can all take away with today. Just the simplest thing is that you are not alone. You're not alone. And the beauty of the community of God, of God's people, is that you're not an island. You're not just trying to figure out this thing on your own. You're not just trying to figure out God's will on your own. There is a family of imperfect people that you can join with who want to come alongside you. And God, in an effort to bring about his will in your life and in the world around you, has put people in your life. We just need to open up our eyes and be a part of that. And that's the beauty of a church community that we get to be a part of. And that's what we catch a glimpse of in our Old Testament text for this morning. So Cindy read for us this very interesting passage where the Israelites are basically, they're at the mercy of the Amalekite army. This is the first fight that has ever come upon any of them, okay? The last battle where they were being chased by the Egyptians, we remember that big scene at the Red Sea, all right? They didn't have to do any fighting there. They didn't need to do anything. God like swallowed up the Egyptian army with the sea. Think about that. Right? But now for the first time, an enemy is attacking God's people. Later on in Deuteronomy, these attacks are described in more deep detail. It says, when you were weary and worn out, the Amalekites met you on your journey and attacked all who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God. So God's people are a bit blindsided here. Maybe some of us can relate, right? Like everything's going along smoothly, then seemingly out of nowhere and without any warning, life just throws a battle at you. Like a loved one falls ill, a job falls through, a relationship goes sideways. So the Israelites are forced to do something that they had never done before. They're forced to become soldiers. And all they had ever been was like brick makers and farmers in their slave relationship in Egypt. And now they're becoming fighters. Right? So Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Like, did they even have weapons? I don't know. Yeah. Think about that. Now, this part we get. Like we understand the part where like an army is attacking your people, particularly like the weak and the struggling and the straggling people. And it's a normal response to say, we're going to defend our people and we're going to go out and fight. Here's the part that might be harder for us to condemn, to comprehend. Well, while Joshua is leading the army into battle, Moses, their leader, is heading up the hill with a stick, which, to be fair, is kind of what prayer can feel like sometimes. I don't know about you, but typically, the thing that keeps me from praying is because it feels more productive to be down on the battlefield than up on the hill holding a stick, okay? It feels more productive to be getting my work done or pouring every effort I can into trying to fix whatever problem I'm facing rather than stopping and throwing myself at the feet of God. But remarkably, Moses doesn't go down to the battlefield. Moses goes up on the hill and submits himself to the power of the God who split the sea for them. He remembers who God is. Now, that in and of itself is pretty remarkable. But here's what I want for us to see in light of what we're talking about today. Moses is not alone. Look at verse 10. It says, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. Moses is not alone here. He's got his older brother there, Aaron, and an elder named Hur. So we've got like we've got the octogenarians and the nonagenarians there. It's like, here we go. Like, the oldest people are up on top of the hill for the battle. And isn't that often so often the case? How often is it that in their wisdom, it's the wisdom of the elders so often in our church, and we need more of them in our church, who are just throwing themselves on their knees for the sake of our kingdom. I don't see her here this morning, but Eleanor, she turned 90 like 6-7 weeks ago. Wow. Like, we should have, like, yeah. I wish she was here to hear you clap. Like that in and of itself is an accomplishment. But she's had a lifetime to know better than most of us what it means to be in prayer. Okay? Moses knew better than to go up there alone. And look at what happens. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Anybody ever tried holding up their arms out like as long as they can? Right? Like you'll find out pretty quickly how strong you're not. Okay? So Kathleen took this picture of me last night when I was trying to figure out how strong I was. And I found out how strong I'm not. Okay? I'm 4 minutes weak. Okay? I thought I could do better. Go home today and see if you can beat me. You probably can, All right? But you're not going to have any fun doing it. I promise that. And your arms will fall eventually. Now, some of us, and to some of us, this may feel very strange. Like, what does the level of Moses' arms have to do with how a battle goes? Here's what we can glean from this verse. Two things. One, God is in the midst of the battle. God is not distant. God is involved here. And two, our engagement, Moses' engagement in the process, matters to God. Like, so we ask the question, like, does prayer really matter? I mean, if it's God's will, won't he just do what he's going to do anyways? Here's what we see over and over and over again in Scripture. God is very much interested in our engagement with his purposes. And prayer is perhaps one of the most fundamental ways for us to line up our plans and our purposes with God's plans and God's purposes. Now, all of that is great and amazing and important for us to chew on, but for our purpose today, as we consider the importance of praying together, communal prayer, look at what happens next. When Moses' hands grew tired, they, that is Aaron and Hur, took a stone and they put it under him and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Hey, church, can we just grasp how beautiful this is? Not only is Moses participating in the supernatural alignment of human will to God's will, but Aaron and Hur have come alongside Moses to join with him, to agree with him that this pursuit is holy and worth the effort. Moses, you're not standing up here alone. Moses, we see the victory that you're seeing. We love the God that you love. We love the God that you're joining with. And we're going to come alongside you. We're going to agree with you and affirm that this task, this weird thing that you're doing, holding your arms right up, is actually the purpose of God. And we want to agree with that and help you do it together. This is worth our effort together. Now, how many people here know it's very difficult to stay faithful in prayer? Like, maybe you're new to this whole Christian thing, or you're just trying to figure it out. But let me tell you that people have been followers of Jesus for a long time and are still trying to figure out, how can I be faithful to prayer? How can I do this continually? It's very difficult for many of us. For some of us, it comes very naturally, and that is a gift from the Spirit of God for you and for the people of God. That's beautiful. But it is so difficult. It can be so difficult. Now, some of you know that about 5 or 6 years ago, as I was personally feeling more and more kind of helpless in my own fleshly efforts to start a church here in New England that we've been a part of now for 11 plus years, I decided I'm just going to start praying. I'm just going to start praying 4 mornings a week right here in the sanctuary, up and down the pews, back when there were pews in this sanctuary. Up and down the pews I'd go, and you know what I quickly found? I was terrible at it, and I still am. I couldn't keep my arms up, and some of you might know exactly what I'm talking about. I can't pray well on my own. Like, there's a ceiling that I keep hitting. My distractibility takes over. My phone captures my attention if I haven't left it in the other room. A dog walking by, and I'm looking out the window over there. A dog walking by is like, oh, wow, a squirrel running up the tree. I'm like, oh, let me watch that squirrel instead of praying. All right. More than anything, what really distracts me is my list of to-dos, okay? And quite honestly, it feels more important, more pressing to get to my to-do list than to actually pray about the things on my to-do list. Anybody? Right? Now, how many of you made that same commitment to pray every morning or whenever, only to find out that it just sputters out? Sometimes maybe it never even gets off the ground. We can't keep our arms up. So I wanted to, this morning, before we wrap up this sermon for today, I want to invite up my friend Joanne. So, and Joanne's going to share about something that she's been doing in her life that I think is just, well, it's worth you hearing. So thank you for being here. Can we welcome her this morning? There you go. So, Joanne, first of all, can you just introduce yourself and your family? I know some of them are here this morning.
Hi, everyone. Does this work?
Yep, okay. Yeah, you good.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanne Etienne. My children are all here. Canel is not feeling well today, so he's home. But we have Nehemiah, Elias, Aya, and Selah, who is here with me.
Awesome. Hey, guys. I know that prayer has been an important part of your own life, and I was so moved when I saw you on New Year's Day this year, and you shared with me, and maybe some of your kids shared with me even before you did, that you guys had been up until something crazy, like 3 a.m. or something like that, praying into the new year with each other. And so I was just hoping that you could share with us how this came about and why this is important to you.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a note from Jess and like have my notes ready because I'm not also good at winging things. But yeah, so I think it sounds so much more like spiritual and well-disciplined than it is. Like it really was a game night. We usually do annually a game night and then we pray into the new year. So we try to, you know, have some fun instead of being out at wherever you could be on New Year's Eve. but really where it starts from is just my childhood and just growing up in a Haitian Christian household. And so what that looked like was, I think I inherited this like reverence for God early on as part of my like day to day. And it's literally in just like the simplest ways. So like you couldn't say like, hey grandma, I'm gonna see you. I'll see you, good to see you, I'll see you Tuesday, right? It's like, you know, she'll quickly be like, does Tuesday belong to you? Because you know that you'll see me on Tuesday, and so you had to be like, sorry, Tuesday, God willing, I will see you. So like, you were just like raised to like constantly remember that you are not in control, that God is like always in control, right? So like, Tuesday's not yours, you can't see somebody Tuesday, Tuesday, God willing.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just, some of it is just like Haitian Christian culture that just embedded some things. And then as part of my upbringing, we went to, you know, New Year's Eve services. And what that, like, as a kid, I didn't know really like the value of like all of the spiritual disciplines I had been trained under. It was just more like, okay, it was an opportunity to stay up late. You know, you got ready at like around 8 p.m. and got dressed and went to church, and then you were there, you know, through the new year for service. New Year's Day for Haitians is also Haitian Independence Day.
Yeah.
And so like the end of service will be, you know, freshly buttered, you know, French bread with like Haitian hot chocolate, which is the best hot chocolate. Don't argue with me. and then soup jumu, which is like traditional freedom soup that we, you know, everyone drinks on the first. And so it was just like, some of it is like childhood nostalgia that I just wanted to kind of give to my children. But we couldn't do all of that without the importance of kind of praying. And so, so some of it is that, but really it's the like, you need to know that I want to teach my children that like, you need to know going into the new year that like, you're only going to see 2024 because God willing, you know, he made it possible that we're blessed enough to go into the new year where many people unfortunately didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sorry, I'm going to go off script a little bit here, mm-hmm. but you could do that by yourself, mm-hmm. but you guys choose to do this together. Why is that in particular important for you?
Yeah. I think there's a benefit to like rich community in prayer. Like for me in my own personal life, I've been blessed. I'm still blessed by the fact that like my parents are constantly praying.
Yeah.
So I know that if I'm not praying, someone's praying for me for sure. Hands down, you know, I'm covered by years and years of faithful prayer. and probably people who I, you know, maybe grandparents who I never got to know how much they prayed for me, you know? But yeah, so I just like, as a mom, a lot of where my mindset is right now, because I'm momming it kind of deep with four kids. And so I just often think about, I need them to learn the importance of prayer.
Yeah.
And so I bring them into that. And so, you know, there's the New Year's Eve, but you know, when we get ready in the morning, I will make them late for school by telling them, like, we're not leaving this house until we pray. And so we'll do like a morning meeting. And it's like I learned this from like the business community, where like you do like a 10-minute stand-up meeting, you know, first thing in the morning. So like we just do that before we leave. We just kind of gather around in a little space, and you know, I try to teach them to pray. And so some of it is teaching the kids. But for myself, I've had peers who've prayed for me in really hard seasons of life. And I find that sometimes you don't have the words, right? Like sometimes you can go to God and you're like, I don't got it today, God. Like, you know, and for somebody to just really sit there and kind of just be able to just find the words for you and to pray for you and to cover you and to, you know, like there is so much power in prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ability to just, when you don't know what to say and somebody else says the thing that maybe your soul needed to say, and you can just say yes.
100%.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how has this been a blessing for you and your family?
In so many ways, honestly, it's like, I have receipts that I serve a living God. Receipts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell me anything that, you know, like, I've prayed, and I can go back, and I can say, God did that. I prayed about that. God did that. You know? I've prayed about, you know, seemingly small things, and then I've prayed about really big things, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then sometimes I'm like, I tell Canel, like, don't come for me, because I will definitely go to God on you. Like, you know? Like, and so, you know, I don't know if that's okay. You can clean up anything, right? But, you know, sometimes I weaponize prayer. Like, I am going to go talk to God about you. And it works in my favor. Like, I found, like, hard seasons in my marriage where I'm like, this is not going to work out by me coming to talk to you and, like, have this conversation for the 50th time, but I'm gonna go talk to God about it. And I've seen things just like transform. So I work in Boston Public Schools. And like one of the biggest things that I kind of saw in that, I started in BPS doing like exam school admissions, like policy change, which for people who do know, it got very political. And like, I believe that the movements that happened were because I was praying. Like there were things that would go in a certain direction and I would be praying about it up through the night. And then the next day something crazy would happen that like kind of like once in a lifetime kind of things. And it would just shift the direction of something. And so I have receipts after receipts after receipts that like God hears me, that God loves me, that God sees me. And so in the hardest seasons of my life, like that was a difficult time because it was stressful, but that's not even like, that pales in comparison to like, you know, a few months ago where I was like, I had to take a leave of absence and be on my face for 4 months. I'm on the floor praying because I was going through it in terms of my family life. And it's just like, we came out of that.
Yeah.
So I know that my prayers have strengthened me. I know that they have covered my family. I know that like my kids, when I look at them and I'm like, wow, you are in a different place than where you were before, and it's because like these prayers, like I know that God hears me. I know that that if I come to him, he's going to either change that thing for me or he's going to change it. Well, usually what always happens is he always changes me in the process too. So sometimes I'll go and be like, I'm gonna go tell on you, Canel, and then God's like, yeah, so Joanne, you need to get it together. And like that helps too, you know, like God whips you into shape.
So just thank you so much for sharing. As we close, can you just, is there anything that you'd like to encourage us? Like, for example, in a few minutes, we're going to pray together. And sometimes we feel uncomfortable doing that. Is there any way that like you can just encourage us for the importance of what we do together in particular?
I think in what we do together, it's like, just believe God's word. So he says when two or three come in his name, he is there. So, I mean, there's more than two or three of us. So, you know, like be encouraged that God is here. Be encouraged that God knows everything already. So there shouldn't be any shame to say the things that, you know, might feel hard to say. Like, God already knows all of my mess, you know? He already knows, you know, how eloquent I'm not, you know what I mean? And I just always think about, I just always encourage people to just be sincere in your prayers. Like, I come with my full self. I don't try to, like, pray like, I don't know, what I think Moses might sound like when he prayed. You know what I mean? Like, I just pray like me, you know? And I just bring where I'm at and how I am. And if you stutter through your prayer, you know? And so I just think, just trust that God hears us, and then also be open to listening to God, because he will speak back to us. And so you already kind of just said this is not, it's not a one-way conversation, but it's a dialogue. And I find that oftentimes when I pray, God will speak to you right in the word, you know? And so he's not looking to leave you in mystery. So just trust that as we pray, that God will answer.
Yeah, and that's one of the beautiful things about doing it together is that you can, as you listen to other people pray, like, you don't have to have all the words. Maybe the person next to you doesn't. God is speaking through, like, whatever the prayers that they have. And that's one of the beautiful things. Don't feel like, oh, I've got, like, what am I going to say? Mm-hmm. Maybe all you need to say as you listen is yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. So thank you so much for just sharing. Can we just thank Joanne for sharing this morning? All right. So thank you. Thanks so much again, Joanne. Just so grateful for you to share about the unique ways that you've been doing this in your own life and with your family. So as I was sharing, I was praying in this sanctuary and I was failing at a spectacular level. My goal, my hope had been to come in here like every morning that I'm here at the church. So that's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and just come in here and pray. And I wasn't doing a very good job. You know, my plan, I'd like, oh, I'm going to pray for an hour. I'm going to walk up and down, you know, and everything's going to be transformed. The city's going to be transformed. The congregation's going to be transformed. And I was struggling. I was struggling. So only a few months into that process, I invited Pastor Cindy to pray with me on Tuesdays. And she said yes. And I'm so grateful. Those were the days that we got to pray together, and those were like the money days. And I still tell her when we pray together, I'm like, thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're here, because I can't hold my arms up on my own. But when I pray with someone, my own prayers come to life, and I feel like, Pastor Cindy just prayed that thing that I feel like that's what needed to be said. And I just, yes, 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 in my spirit and through my mouth. The Spirit leads and guides our prayers in ways that feel like they would have been impossible on my own. And ultimately, the fruit of these prayers is always going to be victory, all right? But let me be very clear, not my victory necessarily. Not your victory necessarily, God's victory. We get to share in that victory when we are lined up with God and in God's timing. So look at verse 13. Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. All right. Now that may, for a lot of us, may raise some other challenging things like, wait, God, is God involved in killing other people? Like, oof, like the Bible is rich and complex and complicated. And if you have questions about that hard stuff, don't hesitate to ask myself or Pastor Cindy or Mike. But think about this. Moses and Aaron and Hur up on the hillside in agreement with each other and God, bringing about the will of God for his purposes in this world. And Moses goes on in verse 15 to give God this beautiful name, Yahweh Nissi, or Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner, which literally means my God is the victorious one. And I get to rest underneath his banner. I get to be a participant in that victory because I'm lined up with God. When I'm the one lined up with God. Some of you say like, oh, I like God's going to be on our side. No, God's not on our side. God is for us, but we get to be with God on God's side. Okay? The victory is always God's victory, and we get to line up with God. So Jesus, in Matthew chapter 18, was teaching his disciples about the importance of dealing with sin among brothers and sisters who sin against each other. And so these words are couched, what I'm about to share, these words are couched in a rich, practical teaching on sin and love and admonishment and forgiveness. It's very, very beautiful. But look at these words that come right in the middle of that discourse. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now that can feel like a complicated thing, like what is he talking about? It can feel like complicated language, but it's very helpful that we're just coming from this battle scene in the Old Testament. Okay? On that day, out there in the wilderness with the Israelites and the Amalekites, God's will was done on the battlefield. Moses, Aaron, and Hur did their part in lining up their hearts and their wills with the will of God in heaven. And that's what these strange words from Jesus in Matthew 18 are suggesting. It's the same thing that Jesus is teaching his disciples, and the same thing that he taught his disciples to pray when he taught them to pray in the Sermon on the Mount. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The purpose of prayer is bigger and more powerful and more eternal than simply asking for the stuff that we want and need. The purpose of prayer is about lining up our hearts here on earth with the heart of heaven. And the purpose of our hearts here lined up with the purpose of God. Now, we can try to figure out that, I'm just going to figure this out on my own. But there's something powerful about joining our hearts and our voice together with other people who are seeking that same thing, the will of God. And so Jesus goes on to say in the next verse, "Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." This, by the way, is not about like colluding together to ask God for a Corvette. Like, you want a Corvette? I want a Corvette. We agree? We're good? We good? Okay, God, I want a Corvette. Boom. No, that's not. Why did I choose a Corvette? I don't know. Think back to Moses and Aaron and Hur. This is about lining up hearts together with the will of God. Agreeing with each other, yes, my heart and the Spirit of God in my heart agree with that in prayer. And we're going to agree together in prayer as we come together. Have you ever prayed in a group and like you hear other people saying out loud, saying, "Yes, Lord, yes, amen, yes, Lord, yes, Lord." Like, that's what's happening there. Like the Spirit of God moving in one person as they hear the Spirit-led prayer of another person and they audibly just agree in their spirit and with their mouth, "Yes, that's true. Amen to that. Yes, I agree." You can't do that when you're by yourself. And we need more of that. By the way, it's okay for you, like when you're praying with other people, to say, "Yeah," like you hear something like, "Yes. Like, my spirit agrees with that thing because my spirit is lined up with the Spirit of God." This is how we get lined up together, together. So we need more of that. So bring us full circle, all right? Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Why are we doing this? Why are you here among other broken, imperfect people in the family of God? To do the will of the Father. That's why we exist as a church. To join with our older brother Jesus in saying, "Not my will, but your will be done." And we'll probably talk about that in a few weeks just before Easter. We engage with each other in this practice of prayer in a holy effort to line ourselves and our purposes, our wills, with the will of our Father in heaven. That's a very difficult thing, if not impossible, to do on our own. So as I mentioned, in a few minutes, we're going to pray together. I'm going to give us a topic. We're going to pray for our city, the city of Quincy, and beyond, by the way. So you see these signs that we put up here. Here is the first one that we got done. But we're going to hang these on the walls, by the way. So this is the first one. We're kind of just like taking a little bit of what Jesus taught his disciples when he was teaching them to pray. He said, on earth as it is in heaven, we're going to say, our church is in Quincy, we're going to pray for Quincy and Quincy as it is in heaven. And I know that not all of you live here in Quincy, but most of us live somewhere on this map, and it might be hard to tell from where you're sitting. This is an actual satellite picture of Boston, okay? And if you get up really, really close, I bet you can find the town that you live in. They're all listed here, tiny, 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 tiny words. And we want to pray for our region as well. We're not going to pray for long today, and we're not going to do it just yet. We're going to participate in communion together first. But I'm simply going to ask that you lift up the lost people who are around us. Now, if you're here today and you don't feel comfortable praying, that's the beautiful thing about communal prayer. You can just listen to what other people might be praying. And we'll get into some groups of like maybe, like 5 to 10 people here, 5 to 10 people, 5 to 10 people there. And we won't pray long, so you don't have to be like, is this going to keep going? Is this going to keep going? But we're going to agree with one another and try to line up our hearts with the purposes of God so that we can pray for people who aren't in this room this morning. And we have this beautiful moment that we're, by the way, moving towards in during the season of Lent, which is what happens on the cross, where, that night before Jesus was crucified, he was there praying, saying, God, please, I don't want to do this, but not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus submitted himself to death for our sake. And so we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he took the bread as this beautiful symbol of what was about to happen, said, this bread is like my body, which is broken for you, and he broke it. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes. And so we're in the in-between now, okay? We're in between the cross and the resurrection and the coming of Jesus. And in the in-between, we have this opportunity to line ourselves up with the will of the Father to bring about his purposes right here, to bring about heaven on earth before Jesus comes and brings it fully. Wow, beautiful, amazing. So I want to invite up those who are helping to serve this morning. And in a moment, I'm going to encourage you to come. Come not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you're strong, because you're not. You can't even do this probably for 5 minutes, right? Like, we're weak. We can't hold our arms up. We're weak people, all right? So come not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because you have any claim on the gifts of this table, but because it's freely given.